I'm with Rob Phillips of the National Library of Wales and Gwynoro Jones, former MP for Carmarthenshire. Rob, we ran a piece a little while ago about the lack of funding for the National Library of Wales. We all know what a great institution it is. Fantastic archives, radio, TV, newspapers, books, you name it. Everything was there. I've been there myself. I'm sure Gwynoro has, to research and look. Students from Aberystwyth University, I imagine people from all over the world looking at genealogy, family history. This essentially is the ticking heart, the meat on the bones of the history of Wales. There is no greater place, no greater depository to find what Wales was all about, what we were all about as the people of Wales. That has been under threat. You've been underfunded for many, many years. The Welsh Government have stepped in now and given you some money. But let's go back, take us back, give us a potted history on how it came to be that you have come into this dire situation that you find yourself in today.
Of course, well, I'm speaking obviously as a union rep for the Prospect Union at the National Library. I've been aware that there's been financial problems at the library for, well, almost a decade, if not more now. The situation is basically that the granting aid, which is nearly all of our funding, so about 95% of our funding, comes from the Welsh Government. We raise some money via charitable donations and grants and so on. But, you know, the vast majority comes from the Welsh Government via the granting aid. And that has been frozen. And that's been frozen for a very long time. In cash terms, it's almost at the same level as it was back in 2006. Now, there's been a very slight increase since then, but that was in the early part of that period. And the cash amount has remained relatively flat, certainly has been flat for the last decade. And of course, you know, we have inflation. There's been you know, inflationary costs in terms of running the building, you know, heating, electricity, and so on. There's, you know, obviously huge costs in terms of the IT infrastructure and so on. Staff costs are also significant. The staff had a significant pay freeze, about 7 years, I believe, of a pay freeze in order to keep costs in control. But of course, you can't keep that going forever. And we did end up, have ended up the last few years with moderate pay increases for the staff. But that still means we're significantly behind where we would have been if we'd have kept up with, for example, the pay rates of the Welsh Government. But that's not the main issue in a way. The main issue is the fact that there's been other cost increases. For example, running the contributions for pensions and so on has increased significantly. And also, when we've looked at the staff wages at the library, you know, there's this idea, but often in terms of librarians and archivists, that we're very well paid, comfortable middle class people, and that really isn't the case. A lot of the staff at the National Library are on comparatively low wages. The Welsh Government made it a commitment for public sector bodies to pay the national living wage, and the library brought that in. But it did mean a very significant increase in the pay bill, because some staff were getting pay increases of perhaps, you know, 15% in order to meet that minimum threshold. That gives you an idea of the wages of some of the staff on the lower levels were on at the time. So when that was brought in, it wasn't a case that we're talking, you know, large increases for well-paid people. We were talking about significant percentage increases in order to get the lowest paid in the library, the people who do a lot of the really important work at the library, and that is, you know, making sure the building is secure, clean, but also a lot of the work on the collections as well, making sure that they were paid the national living wage, and we were in a situation before that where they weren't. Now, that's put a huge pressure on the library's budget. And that has led us to a situation where, of course, we've ended up with the financial crisis, which has been unfolding for several years. And, of course, when you add that to the fact that the granting aid has remained relatively flat, that's around about a 40% decrease in terms of its actual value when you take inflation into account, then you can see there's only one way this is going, and that is the library not able to have enough money to pay all its bills. And that's where we've ended up.
And Just tell us briefly what kind of impact that is going to have on the mechanisms, the workings, the accessibility, and the work that has already been done to a certain extent of cataloguing. So much, I know you have the photographic archives of many, many Welsh photographers, social history, you know. So what is the impact going to be going forward now? Let's just say, even with this money that you've had, are you going to be able to sustain it? Are you going to have to reduce the staff or keep on the skeleton staff that you've got? Are you going to have a volunteer recruitment drive? Are you going to have to partner with somebody or look for some kind of philanthropic donation?
Well, it's a combination of a lot of these things. The first thing to say is, of course, that the money that's been announced in the Welsh Government, while very welcome, is only for it's only going to get us through to the end of the next financial year. So it postpones the crisis in terms of staffing rather than gets rid of it, which is a problem. Without this money, we were looking at losing around 30 staff at the moment. We don't know what the situation with the management plan is. We're very much hoping as unions that given the pressure that's been put by the public on the Welsh Government to find this extra money, they will retain most of those 30 staff that were threatened with redundancy, at least until the end of the next financial year, but that's still to be confirmed. If that is the case, then we will have to still radically change the work we do. We've lost around 100 staff in the last decade already, so we've had to become a lot more efficient in the work we do. We've changed the way we work. We've spent a lot more on things like digitization, and we've streamlined a lot of the work we do in terms of cataloguing books and so on. So that is going to continue. The streamlining and the efficiencies have to work, have to continue with that. But there is a point where you can't do any more efficiencies, and where when you cut funding, then it actually has an impact on the public accessibility of the library. And that was where we're going to get to with this. If we'd lost these 30 staff, it would have meant significant cuts to public access via reading rooms, via our inquiry service, and via the digitization, because we simply wouldn't have had the staff to do the work. So what this means is that we can continue to some extent with that work for another year. We're still going to look at the restructure because we need to alter the way we work, and the unions accept that we need to alter the way we work. The public require access in a different way. People want to see more digitized items. They want access via the web rather more than they did a few years ago. The number of people who come to Aberystwyth to go to the reading rooms is decreasing, and that's a reflection of the different way people use collections. As a national library, we've got to respond to that, and the unions are very keen that we respond to that, because we want to be relevant, we want to be accessible, and we want to be accessible in whichever way the public needs us to be accessible. And that's what we've got to do. But to do that, it's not a question of just cutting back on the things that perhaps are not so popular anymore. We need to invest in the things that are popular. We need to make sure we've got staff to do digitization, that we've got staff to do more cataloguing, and we've got staff to answer inquiries perhaps remotely rather than on site now. So there's a big challenge. This has given us about a year of breathing space. We still, as unions, wait to see what the library is planning to do with its restructure at the moment. We're very much hoping that they will, whilst continuing with the restructure, will make sure those posts are retained, at least for next year. And then we've got to work on long-term funding to make sure that the library can continue. And that is, you know, that is the end of it, really, is that this is puts things off for a year at best. And as unions, we're still very concerned that in a year's time, we're going to be facing this cliff edge once again.
In a way, though, Rob, what you're saying there about going online, traditionally, and human nature really, is that when people visit a physical site like the National Library, they feel part of it. They access things, they touch things, they can turn a page, they can photograph, they can scan. Online is kind of difficult in a way, and I see some issues there. One is that people don't value the amount of work going on behind the scenes for the online, and also you're having to work extremely hard to catalogue and digitise most of this stuff. People expect that there's one or two people behind the scenes that can do that, but it has to be maintained, doesn't it? The structure you have, the staff ratio you have. I mean, even volunteers, as many as good-willed as they are, it's an awful lot of work. I speak from experience of scanning archives, but I'll hand you over to Gwynoro now. He's about to bring up a substantial archive to you of his life's work, and he has been following this with great interest as well. So, Gwynoro, if you'd like to ask Rob a question.
What amazes me is we have been through 10 years of austerity, and that is understandable. It's hit the wall of our public services in Wales and everywhere else. But the problem that I see with it is the lack of forward planning. And the real question is, why was it allowed to get to this point? You know, I mean, it's not just the Welsh government, from my perspective. I know it's difficult for you, Rob, to answer this question, but I think there's also a responsibility on the library board itself to understand the importance of the whole institute. You know, I mean, I've been there several times, and it is amazing, the facilities, the service, what you can get there. I benefited greatly from it. And I hope all my stuff within about 6 months will arrive with you. Although it was, if this cuts had happened, could well have been that the library couldn't have coped with it. So do you feel that the board has at last captured the real issue, that it's corporate planning for the future based on expansion and not retrenchment? You know, they've been retrenching for 10 years, haven't they? Are they now able, you think, to do the important switch into a future where they will, you know, expand?
Well, obviously, you know, from the speaking from the trade union perspective, you know, I've been heavily involved in this for the last 10 years. And we've all been well aware, and that is the, you know, the unions, the staff, the management, and the board have been, you know, been well aware of the financial problems that have faced the library. And there's been, you know, various, should we say, you know, quite creative ways to try and to ameliorate the situation. We've taken on projects which are externally funded, and that's meant that we could do digitization on things like the First World War archives and the newspaper archives. That was paid for externally, so we could still deliver that. And that was you know, in a really, that was to make up for the fact that the core funding to do that work wasn't there. So there's been that effort to do that. Over the last few years, that funding has not been quite so readily available, and the library board has had to use some of the private funds that the library holds in order to retain staff and keep work programmes going. And they are aware of it, and they have been pushing. It's just that I think it's taken a public protest, and to be fair, only the unions could really have organised that in that way.
Yeah, but the point being, you see, what really concerns me, Wales is a small country. The Senedd, however important it is also a small institution. It's only 60, 80 miles from Aberystwyth. How was it that it ended up in this chaos, ended up in this situation where you, as an organisation and unions, had to get a 14,000-15,000 petition to get David Ellis Thomas? I named these people because he is in charge, right? I can name them, you can't. But why on earth didn't these people get together quicker and earlier and understand the problem without you people having to force the issue so publicly?
It is quite a difficult one, and I think it is partly the fact that we are a bit further away from Cardiff, and that perhaps we're not quite so visible to the politicians, which is a shame. But I think that probably is an element to it. Also, the fact that the library has managed to deal with these problems for the last 10 years with the budget shrinking, without it being a huge problem in public, I think has probably hidden it to some extent, and that's meant that the politicians were perhaps, you know, quite happy to let it go. We're a bit less aware of the crisis because it had been managed quietly and slowly. And as we see now, what got the reaction was the fact that we hit a cliff edge and we were looking at 30 job losses and major cuts to access. And it was only when you have a, you know, it's like the old frog in the water thing, isn't it? You'll be a frog in cool water and warming up slowly. It doesn't notice. If you drop it into one that's boiling, it does. And I think it's a bit like that. It's when the changes happen in small stages over time, it's not quite so visible. When it's a big change at once, then suddenly that becomes visible. And suddenly the public notice as well.
You've alluded to one thing which has been central to my criticism of the Senedd for the time of its existence. Too centralised, too Cardiff-centric. Anything outside the M4 corridor is a problem grasping with what the issues are, and what is more, a problem with funding. North West Wales, South West Wales, North East Wales, Mid Wales. Now, how on earth can it be? You know, it's a small, we're a small country. Wales is a village. Why didn't they understand that the National Library needed funding? And what is more, it actually needs far more than it got. Now, how on earth the Welsh Rugby Union gets 17 million and you get 2.25? There's a question of priority here, surely, as to the heritage, and the same with the National Museum, not just the National Library. And it's crazy, you see, that, and this is the issue I have with the modern politicians in Wales. It would not have happened back in my day. And I tell you why, because they would have created merry hell about the importance of Welsh issues. We have it even on the curriculum. They are now querying whether history should be a subject. Welsh history should be a central part of the curriculum. Unthinkable, unthinkable years ago. And this is where we're at. And they wonder in Cardiff why the people are disillusioned. They wonder why the support for the institution is probably around 50%. They wonder why people are moving to abolish the Assembly Party. They're doing all those things because they don't feel that the Welsh people are being served properly. And I mean the whole of Wales.
Is commercially, obviously, you know, people will be aware that you offer a lot of services, and when you receive money to a certain extent and the work you're doing, a lot of that you've switched to giving it for free. It's like us, we offer a free public news service. There's not much money in that. What kind of plans do you have in place or looking forward to commercialising aspects? Is it possible to commercialise aspects of the National Library?
I think it's quite difficult in many ways because partly because the main role of the library is not a commercial one. It's the library itself is meant to be a public good set up by a royal charter that sets out the library's key role, which is to collect and give access to documentary knowledge of Wales and the Celtic peoples. Now, we could, I'm sure the board, you know, has looked into this as well. I mean, could look at things commercially. You could charge for access to services. You can charge for perhaps digitized, you know, viewing of digitized items. But that goes against the ethos of the library, and the library's entire ethos is to collect this stuff. It's owned by the people of Wales. It is to collect it, to make it available so that it can support education, research, history, and so on. So I think for us as staff, it would very much go against the grain of what we feel our job is, which is to give access to information to everybody rather than to restrict it. So there is that difficulty. But the problem is, of course, is that when you do cut public funding, when public funding is in short supply, all institutions have got to go looking after alternative streams of funding. And in many cases, that's going to be through charging people. There is a limit to what we can do. We do charge, for example, for providing copies of documents and items for commercial use. We've got a licensing service that does that. But we have to be realistic in that how much money that's going to bring in terms of the overall cost of running the library. And I think we'd probably all as staff feel very uneasy if we were in a situation where we were turning away people who wanted to use our resources to learn and everything else, because they weren't able to pay for them. And I think that will be a real tragedy. And I think the key thing is, and this is a key one for, you know, it's for the politicians in many ways to make this decision, the call as to, you know, what they expect from the National Library in terms of its services and the support it gives to other areas. You know, for example, we do a lot of work now on making documents available on Hub for schools to use. Yeah. The library is a public good, and in opinion of the unions, you know, that it certainly should remain as much free as possible to the people of Wales, because knowledge, history, culture in themselves are good, and I think when we start looking at those in terms of money, I think we do a great disservice, not just to the people who are using the library's collections now, but also those people who over the last 100 or so years have given all this material to the National Library for the benefit of everyone to use. I think they'd probably be pretty upset. We started charging for access to to items that have been given freely to the people of Wales for them to enjoy.
How much of a part, how much of a role, and have you explored also the possibility of working much closer or closely with the university, using the students from the university that may have, maybe on the media course? I mean, it's part and parcel. If you're a journalist, if you're a media person, then those are the skills you want, the scanning, the documenting, the catalogue, the sharing, the getting it online. Have you got those partnerships? Have you got those people coming in from the university to help out?
Yeah, there are partnerships with lots of organisations, and we do work quite closely with Aberystwyth University and the other universities as well. I mean, Aberystwyth University especially, because it has a training programme for archivists and librarians, which is we're really happy to feed into, and we do try and do that. There is limited scope for having students do work in the library, partly because, you know, they're a lot of their time is spent studying. I don't think we could really, you know, look at using them as a workforce without paying. I think that would be unfair. But the library does provide opportunities. We do have, for example, lots of visits from the university students from different parts of Wales to view the collections, to learn how to use them, to speak to the expert staff to get, you know, experience and help from them. And also we do have some partnerships with the universities where funding for students doing PhDs on particular subjects are part hosted by the library, and where part of the work involves studying at a university, writing a thesis, but also working on a particular collection. And one of the outputs of that collection, as well as being the thesis, is the fact that collection is then properly sorted and catalogued and available. So we've tried to be very creative on these things. But at the end of the day, if you want a national library, which is going to provide the services that people expect, it's got to be paid for, and you've got to have specialist staff there to run it.
Yes, we understand that, Rob. But, you know, you're speaking as an union man, as somebody who sees it from the perspective of your people, which is perfectly the correct way. This could be an unfair question, right? Upon him now. The grant comes to an end, I suspect, March 2023.
It's for two years, but one of the years is this year.
Has any assessment been made of how much money the National Library really needs to run a proper service? Not to have a couple of million now extra added on. Mm. Is there a sum that the Welsh Government should be asked, look, this is what we need to run the National Library of Wales? Is there such a figure?
As far as I'm aware, and I'm speaking from the knowledge of the papers that I've seen, is that the library estimated that to maintain services at their current level for the next few years would require an uplift in our granting aid of 1.5 million per year. That would keep us on a roughly even keel, allow us to retain roughly the current level of staffing. And obviously the axis is going to change in terms of where we focus, but we're talking about replacing different types of access with new access rather than cutting access. So that would be, the figure I've seen is 1.5 million each year, and that would keep things at an even keel for the next few years. Obviously that has to be reevaluated, needs to be index linked. But the tailored review of the library that was published last year and commissioned by the Welsh Government did say that both the library and the Welsh Government need to get together and devise a sustainable funding model for the library going forward. I've yet to see any evidence of that discussion, any out of that discussion between the library and the government. The library certainly put figures together to say this amount is what we need now, but as I've not yet seen anything about a long-term funding plan. And that's key to this, because we can't keep coming back to this every year. The library can't, you can't retain staff if every year they think they're going to lose their jobs. They will go somewhere else. And also, you don't get the best out of people. When people are under threat, when people are worried about their job security, they don't do their best work. And I think, you know, the staff of the library who work really hard do deserve a bit better than that. And I think, we need that stability for the staff, for the library to plan long-term and to make sure that, it's a long-term institution. The stuff we hold is hundreds and hundreds of years old. And our job is to make it available for 100 years into the future. It's not something you can keep doing on an annual basis. We've got to have long-term stability in the funding.
That was Rob Phillips speaking to us on behalf of the union at the National Library of Wales. Thank you, Rob.